Wow, I love that story. I love the way this family is kind of adopted, how they've released their kids. And today we're going to be talking about how do you know when God is doing something? I mean, how do you figure that out? You know, that phrase, God is doing something, is actually synonymous with the kingdom of God. And we're going to look today at how you identify, how you kind of seek out and can actually see the movement of God in our culture, in our world. And we saw it right there, big vision, a kid who said, hey, I want to go out and make a difference. Some kids don't have enough around the world. I'm going to go out and I'm going to get 12 families to sponsor this kid. One of the, you know, they take 1 month, $38 a month. His mom said, there's no way. And he did. I mean, often kids step out in bold ways, and that's the kingdom right there. That's this child leading us in the kingdom. We also saw this family coming together around a common purpose. That's the kingdom of God right there. That's what it looks like. You know, that's what God is about. As we looked at that, we saw friends inviting friends into the kingdom through a cause. And that's kind of a great build for us right now. As we, you know, we as Eric said, are sponsoring with these boxes more families than we've ever sponsored. I mean, we feel like there's a need. And that video there, that church partnership out of Cincinnati, Crossroads, is where we actually saw the idea for the meal box drive. They do it at Thanksgiving. We do it at Christmas. And we saw that. And it kind of, you know, we thought, well, I wonder if there's hungry people in Indianapolis too. That was like a no-brainer right there. We didn't have to pray about that. We're like, bam, it happened. We began doing this 5-6 years ago, and it's just been expanding. And we thought, you know, there are families all around our community who aren't going to have much on their Christmas table, if anything. And one of the ways we can be a part of giving them a Christmas or building dignity back into their lives when they're in poverty is to give them a full-blown Christmas meal. Jesus talked about like putting clothes on the naked, you know, food on the table of the hungry. We said, we want to do that. And so, you know, what a great idea to enlist your friends and family. I mean, people, neighbors, coworkers, people in the office that maybe don't go to Crosspoint, but a great way, to invite them into the process. You might want to enlist a friend to help you with filling a box because, you know, this costs maybe $75 to fill this with all the stuff on that list of food. And you might say, you know, that's a little steep for me. Find a friend to go at it together. Or maybe there's somebody you want to invite in, a neighbor that you want to tell them about what we're doing because they generally like to be generous in that way. Go shopping with them. I mean, fill the box together and then invite them on the 15th to come back and return that. Or maybe you can't be here the 15th, and so you're going to invite a friend to just deliver your box on the 15th. You're going to tell them something like, man, it is a crazy day at Crosspoint that day. It's why I love the day because, I mean, you can, like, feel the love. You can just, like, drink the love up as there's these boxes of generosity just come flowing back into this place and into a truck and literally go out into homes later that afternoon. Or maybe they buy the food and you bring it back. I don't care, you know, but how might we be able to pull people into the kingdom, seeing a glimpse of the kingdom through generosity? Because, you know, whenever we're thinking about how to do something that God smiles upon, the kingdom's right there. That is the kingdom right there. And that's what it looks like. So today, we're going to talk about what it means to see the kingdom. How can I become focused on it and actually begin to identify how God is moving and at work? And let me tell you, it's probably happening way more than you will begin to realize right now. I mean, it's happening in this moment. It's happening. It's going to happen throughout your day. And so we're going to take a look at that today. So my name's Kurt, by the way. It's great to meet you if we haven't met before. And before we dive into this, let's take a moment and pray. God, I'm thankful that we can gather in this room today. I'm thankful to be here today. And I know for probably many of us, we're wondering, you know, God, are you real? We're wondering, God, where are you? Where are you in the world? Or maybe some of us are wondering, how can I be included in what you're doing in the world today? And so, God, we're not here because we want to go through a bunch of religious motions, but we're actually here because we want you to tell us something that maybe we don't know. Or maybe give us an insight into something that we currently don't have. We want to understand ourselves, we want to understand you more, and we want to understand the world in the way that you designed it to be. And so, God, I'm going to try to accomplish that, and I pray that you would move in this place today. Amen. Well, we've been looking at the kingdom and really delineating between our two realms in the world. There's the kingdom of this world, which is kind of the default mode. It's got default mechanisms built into it, default way of making decisions, going with the flow of what everyone else is doing. And this realm is governed by, you know, a figure called Lucifer, Satan, however you want to refer to him as. The Bible calls it the ways of the world. And then this is kind of in opposition to this countercultural revolution known as the kingdom of God. And in the kingdom of God, there's a ruler in that kingdom by the name of Jesus. Jesus is king there, and it's governed by things like love and generosity and grace. And people who say, hey, I just want to be a blessing. People like the family we just saw in this video say, hey, we just want to be a blessing to people. We understand that that becomes to become a reflection out of what God has done in our lives. And one of our things that compels us is to share this love, to share this message and a picture of who Jesus is to all ends of the earth. It's one of the things that compels us. And so today, as we talk about what does it mean to see the kingdom, as I said, we're probably going to see that the kingdom is around us way more than we ever realize. And so Jesus, he tells a story about this, and as he begins to try to help us understand this, and you're going to hear this, you're going to be like, gosh, this sounds like it was written yesterday. It wasn't. 2,000 years ago, this thing was written, and yet for thousands of years, the same thing has been going on, the same thing, same conditions have been happening. And so here's how Jesus puts it in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 and following. It says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on, how long your workout will be. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I tell you, Solomon in all of his glory. Solomon was an Old Testament king, had a lot of jack, all right, a lot of dough. He was wealthy. And he says, look at Solomon in all of his glory. He wasn't even arrayed like one of these. But if God has so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you? Now you have little faith. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we drink, what shall we eat, or what shall we wear? Anxiety, anxiousness, yes. You know, this is what Jesus is talking about right here. 2,000 years ago, he's talking about this. We still deal with it today. You know, why do we get anxious, freaked out, worried, nervous, you know, fixated on stuff? You know, these are all different words that really mean the same thing of this idea of being anxious. I mean, why is it that we feel like this good King God is actually going to abandon us tomorrow? I'm going to wake up and everything's going to be gone. Just the sense that God doesn't care for me. Am I going to have enough clothes? I mean, am I going to have enough money? Is there going to be food on my table? You know, are all these things I see in the world, are they going to be happening? And Jesus here isn't talking about a condition. He's not talking about like anxiety, the condition of anxiety, which, you know, in some cases needs medication because there's actually an imbalance chemically. He's not talking about that. He's talking about the way that we tend to fixate on certain things that cause us to get nervous, anxious, you know, fearful. And fixate is a word we could kind of replace with anxiousness right here. You know, whenever I fixate on something, when I get so consumed with a certain thing and my life begins to revolve around, I begin to get all amped out and worried whether it's going to happen or not, you know, then that kind of begins to guide my train of thought. I tend to go in and out of fixating on things. I don't know if you do, but I go in and out of those moments. In fact, right now, I've been fixating on my next vacation. All right, not because I'm ready right now, but I love, you know, like finding a great vacation deal. And I've got a vacation coming up before too long. And so I buy like vacation points from, you know, people who need to sell them. And I get fixated on this. I wake up in the morning, I look at these posting boards, see if there's any new points for sale. I love, you know, kind of, you know, working the deal. I love nailing the deal down. I'm so fixated on times. I will go back after I nail my deal down just to see if people that I was talking to gave a better deal to somebody else. I get fixated on it. I mean, it's like, it consumes me because I love the thrill of doing that kind of thing. And Jesus, you know, he wasn't necessarily saying it's terrible to fixate on things like this, but you know, there are things that get every single one of us, right? I mean, there are certain things when we fixate on them, it always leads things like this. Oh no, the economy, it's going to tank. I'm going to lose everything. And we begin to fixate on that. Or, oh no, I mean, he's going to mismanage something. I just know he's going to mismanage something. The whole house of cards and our financial picture is going to come crashing down. Or, oh no, my clothes. I mean, I'm going to go to the Christmas party and I wore these clothes last year. Everybody's going to know that I wore these clothes. I need more clothes. I mean, as if I don't have it, I need more. And we fixate on these things. My minimum savings number, oh no, it's not there. You know, we fixate, whatever it is, I don't have enough. Jesus says, when we fixate on things, when we become anxious, he says we have these certain internal assumptions that begin to drive what we do, and we begin to live as if there's not a God, a good king, who's actually
going to take care of me. And Jesus says, you know, this is not how the kingdom of God operates. He says, no, it's not this way. He says, there's a good king. Look at the lilies of the field. Look how beautifully they're dressed. And they don't do anything. They don't worry about if they're going to be clothed the next day or not. And he says, you know, if God takes care of the lilies and if God takes care of the lions and tigers and bears, yeah. I mean, if God takes care of all them, why are you worried about this? I mean, you can see there's something different. God says, you and I were created in his image. We're actually divine image bearers of the good king. And he says, if you look at the lilies in the field, the animals, he says, you're way more precious than those beings, those created things. He says, and yet we live as if, man, tomorrow everything's going to be gone. I'm going to be living down by the river in a van, down by the river. I'm nothing. It's gone. I mean, why do we love that skit, that old Saturday Night Live skit? Because we get it, right? We're like, oh, someday I'm going to be living by the river in a van. It's all, I mean, tomorrow might come. We live this way. And Jesus says, no. In fact, he maps this whole thing out. Here's what he says next. He says, for the Gentiles seek after these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. Now, we have to do some cultural context right here to understand Gentiles. See, Jesus was a Jew, and he's talking to Jews, and Jews are kind of the chosen nation of Israel. And so the Jews had all these promises and blessings that God told them are going to be coming their way. And he's basically, and it's more than the Gentiles, weren't just about, you know, becoming uncircumcised or circumcised. It wasn't just that. We read about a lot of that in the Old Testament. It's about, you know, he's saying, hey, don't go after the gods like the Gentiles do. Meaning, for instance, like a couple weeks ago, I talked about how Julie and I were in Haiti about 10, 12 years ago. And when you're in a culture like that, it's very easy to identify the false gods. All right, it kind of goes hand in glove. The gods kind of dictate the behavior of that culture. Like, oh, that's a false god. It's very obvious. It's not as obvious for us. In fact, a couple weekends ago, we held glass balls. Some of us broke them during the service, but most of us held them during the service. And then at the end, we had the chance to write some of the things that are of value in our life. And then we talked about, you know, are we willing to say, Jesus, you're my king. I trust, even though I value these things, I trust that you're going to take care of me. And for many of us, we actually dropped these balls in this coffin. And we talked about how, you know, sometimes when we make Jesus our king, we actually say, Jesus, even the things we value the most, we're willing to let go of. And, you know, there are hundreds of glass balls broken in this thing. And we said, you know, if maybe you weren't ready to do that. Some of you walked out with your balls. That's cool. I appreciate the integrity that you had. But we also told you this coffin's going to be here through the entire series. So, you know, if we're singing something and you want to come up and you're ready to say, Jesus, you know, as a symbol of my senior, my king, you need to break your ball in here. Just come on up and do that at any time. There was some glass in there last weekend. Really cool. We moved it out. We found glass. You know, we're saying, hey, the idols we have in our lives, the things we chase after, the gods, they dictate the behaviors. Jesus is like, don't be like the Gentiles. He's like, they have a different, you know, it's not about they have a different nationality. They have actually different gods. They have different deities that they're chasing after. It drives their lives in certain ways. And he's in essence saying, I would expect, you know, somebody who doesn't know me as a good king that they'd be fixated on money. He said, I expect that. He said, I would expect somebody who doesn't know that there's a God who gave his life to you to be worried about, you know, what's going to come tomorrow. Am I going to have enough? Are my core needs going to be met? I mean, I would expect somebody who doesn't have that, know that there's a good God. He said, I would expect somebody who doesn't know me to be focused on the externals like clothes. And am I going to have something to wear? You know, how people perceive me. But he says, gosh, don't be like the Gentiles if you know me as your king. He says, don't be that way. I think if Jesus were here today, he'd probably say something like, don't be like the agnostic or the atheist. I mean, not like agnostic and atheist are the worst thing you could be, but I mean, why would an agnostic or atheist have any reason to believe that God, they don't believe in God. What would they believe that there's a God who actually is going to take care of them? They don't believe that. I think he'd say something like, don't be like the person that's the godless capitalist or the naive socialist, you know, people who want everything but don't want to pay for any of it, you know, that kind of thing. He says, don't be like them. He's like, when you're in the kingdom of God and you understand I've got a good king who cares for me, then you realize there's an X factor in every situation that just because it looks a certain way doesn't mean that God can't change that and take it to an entirely new place. He says, you know, the agnostic, the atheist, the Gentiles, the godless capitalists, the naive socialists. You know what all those people have in common? You know, if you fall into one of those categories, you know what he says you are? The moniker of all of those people right there. He says, you're what we call normal. He says, you're normal. He says, it doesn't surprise me that you walk only by what you can see. It doesn't surprise me that you've got to control every situation.
It doesn't surprise us that, you know, when somebody does something to you, the only way that you see working through that, if somebody's wounded you, is to, you know, retaliate, because you don't understand there's an X factor that can bring grace and take that relationship to an entirely different place. He says, you don't understand, there's a God who cares for you, that this X factor figure. Jesus says, don't be that way. Here's what he says. He says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Let me tell you what, today you're going to have trouble. I'm just going to tell you, you thought you're coming to be encouraged today, you're going to have trouble today. I mean, this isn't some Pollyanna thing like, oh, trouble will never come your way, don't worry, be happy. He's not saying that. He's saying, hey, today's trouble is going to be smack dab in front of your face. He's saying, don't worry about the troubles that haven't even come yet. Pay attention to what's happening today. Jesus says, seek first. What he's in essence saying is, he says, look at him. Look first to God. Look and see if you can see the kingdom. What exactly is it we're looking for? That's the question today. What are we looking for? One of the things I've learned over the years, and you may have learned this true as well, is that whatever you look for, you will find. Have you ever noticed that? Whatever you look for, you tend to see. For example, say you go out and say, buy a new car this week. You start driving that car around, all of a sudden you're like, oh, there's one just like mine. Gosh, there's another one like mine. They're all over the place because you're sensitized to it. You're noticing your car all over the place. You know, maybe you learn a new vocabulary word and you start like peppering. I learn vocabulary words. I make up vocabulary words sometimes. But maybe you learn one and you're like, you start using it and you're like, well, they know that word too. And it just stops like popcorn popping up because you're sensitized to it. You know, Courtney's story, the young lady who was living with the six women and finding community in that, I watched that and I thought, where's the kingdom in that picture right there? Because you see, for her, at some point, she got to this point where she began to realize, she began to wonder if there was something that she was missing. She felt like, if I'm not in a nuclear, you know, biological, American, normal family, then God's just going to turn his back and abandon me. I mean, that's what she was in essence saying, that I've got to find this. You know, where did she learn that? She learned that not from the kingdom of God. She learned that from the kingdom of the world, right? This is, hey, you have to be normal. You have to have a normal family, normal nuclear American family. You know, Jesus didn't have these. Listen, you can see all kinds of figures throughout the Bible that didn't come from a normal nuclear, definitely not American family, and yet God used them. I mean, I really believe that, you know, you can be relationally satisfied, you know, even if you're not in a marriage. Some of us are sitting here thinking, man, I think I'd be more relationally satisfied if I wasn't in a marriage. I'd rather be down by the river living in a van. You know, it's the reality, right? Where do we get that idea? See, whatever you look for, whatever you tend to look for, you're going to see. If you're looking for a fight, you're going to find a fight. If you're looking for evidence that the government is inept, you're going to find it. You're going to find evidence of that. If you're looking for, you know, ways to see that your friend is a great friend, you're going to find that your friend is a fantastic friend. If you're looking for, you know, ways to justify some big purchase that you want to make and you're struggling with it, you will find ways to justify that purchase. I guarantee you. I mean, if you're here for the first time today and you're looking, you know, to see that all churches that are going anywhere are unauthentic and all about themselves, I guarantee you'll walk in here, you will find that today. In some way, shape, or form, you will see something that will convince you or validate what you're looking for, because what you look for, you will find. Tomorrow, going into your workplace, if you believe that you can't trust any leadership at the workplace, I guarantee you there will be evidence of why you shouldn't do that. Because what you look for, you tend to find. Jesus said, instead, seek first the kingdom. He said, seek, see the kingdom and God's righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. I don't know if you've ever been to a 3D movie. I have. Yes, I have. I went to see Gravity recently. Fantastic. Awesome film. I mean, I was feeling like I was ready to reach out and grab onto the spaceship. And, you know, it's fascinating. 3D movies upgraded a little bit. These are old school right here. But, you know, it's interesting because when you're in a 3D movie, if you do not have the glasses on, you miss a significant part of the movie. You might still see the movement, but everything's fuzzy and it's difficult to really see and grasp the magnitude, the depth of the experience that you're looking for. And the same is true with the kingdom. In fact, I've been wearing glasses or contacts since I was like 13.
And I remember getting my first pair of glasses, a year later moved to contacts, and I had basically the same prescription for like 12 years or something like that. It was, you know, every time I go in, they're like, well, we're putting you in the same thing. And I remember the day where they did the test on my eyes, and you know, and the optometrist was like, you know, Kurt, I think your vision's going down. Have you noticed that? And he said, is it okay if I up your prescription a little bit? And I said, well, you know, here's how I understand this. I mean, my philosophy is that, you know, the eye is a muscle. And so if I don't have to use my muscle as intensely or as much, then you know, atrophy is going to set in. Then you're going to have to keep upping my prescription. I think I've stayed there for 12 years because, you know, I've maybe been having to strain a little bit. And that's just my philosophy. And he looked at me and he's like, yeah, that's not the case. I mean, it's like, don't you hate it when you think you know something medically and somebody who really knows? Like, no, that's not true. Well, you know, for many of us, we actually have certain philosophies. And while we believe those are true, they're not necessarily grounded in reality. And I wish he wouldn't have told me that, by the way, because, I mean, as soon as he told me that, I'm going out, and I'm like, man, he's right. I'm like trying to focus and see things, you know, the little print on like manuals and stuff. And I mean, I'm driving, I'm thinking, I can't see that sign. Because he was right. He was right. And so today, I want us to think about what it would be like to put on some kingdom goggles. I mean, what would it be like if we were to be able to put a covering over our eyes and we were through these lenses able to begin to see the kingdom in a different way? That we actually got some clarity, things that they seem a little fuzzy or unclear. As I'm saying, well, where is the kingdom? When I put these on, I can actually see the kingdom at work. And I want to do something. I want to walk you through the last week of my life. And I want to just kind of point out to you some of the places that as I put kingdom goggles on, I wear these often, I've seen God at work in my life. And hopefully, my task is to help you see maybe how God's working in your life today. That's what the task I'm going to take on. And hopefully, as I share some of these, you're going to be able to see some of the ways that the values of Jesus, okay, make sure my hair is down because I am vain at times, the values of Jesus, you know, how are they popping up in the world all around me if I actually put a lens on to see it? So very ordinary, normal things this week. In fact, last Sunday, start there. After services last Sunday, I went straight into a leadership meeting. And one time a month, I meet with all of our team leaders and staff members here at Cross Point, and we have a leadership lunch. And I don't eat, they eat, but I lead. I go over where we are, where we're going, upcoming challenges, you know, things we need to be focusing on. You know, just an hour and 15 minutes of additional material to what we do here in services. And I walk out of those things, and we do them every month, and I walk out on that week. And I mean, it just drains me. I mean, by the time I get to 1:30, 2 in the afternoon, after being here at 7, I'm like, man, I'm spent. I'm emotionally spent. And I just off the cuff, I said to our operations director, who happens to be one of my really good friends, here's John, by the way, here's what John looks like. This is probably the most important person you never see up front here at Cross Point, right? If there's anything good that's been logistically worked out or flowed well, John is usually at the point of that. He's our head of operations and logistics. And he's also a good friend of mine. I said, man, John, I am wiped. And he looked at me and said, well, Kurt, man, I don't know how you do it. He's like, these weeks, man, you brought up both hours. It was full of energy. And then, you know, leadership lunch was full of energy. And he said, you know, you do it really well. Well, where's the kingdom in that? Well, the kingdom was in that he was actually encouraging me. And in a way that he didn't follow it with an ask, like, and by the way, can I you know, bail early today? I mean, that's what we always encourage people. We're like, hey, you did great, and by the way, you know, he didn't do that. I mean, he actually encouraged me. What is encouraging? What does it mean to encourage someone? It means to put courage into someone. It means to insert courage, to speak courage into someone's life. And let me tell you what, it came at a moment when I really needed it. Man, I walk out of those meetings, and I'm spent, and I can tell you everything that went wrong today. I'm emotionally spent. I can only see as far as my nose by the time I get to that point because I'm tired. And he's saying, no, Kurt, it was good. And he lifted me up. That was one of those moments where I'm like, this is the kingdom right here. This is the kingdom. Monday morning, there's a group of pastors Monday morning that meets, about 40, 50 pastors that meet over in Cincinnati during these journeys. The initiator of these journeys, Crossroads Church over in Cincinnati, they have a gathering for pastors that are on the journey. There's about 60,000 people right now doing the same thing we're doing this morning. All across greater Cincinnati area, Midwest, Indianapolis, all the way down to Florida, Texas. And everybody's kind of living it out their own ways. But on Monday mornings, there's a meeting of pastors to talk about the next week concepts. You know, brainstorm ideas on how to walk out what it means to see the kingdom. Now, I was not over in that meeting this week. Here's a picture of the guys that were. And but I listened to the audio, an hour and 15, 20 minutes of audio that came out of that meeting where this group talked about how can we help people understand and see what it means to see the kingdom. And that line I used a few moments ago, whatever you look for, you're going to get, it didn't originate with me. It was actually a guy named Will from Northern Kentucky that brought that up. I took it for my own and said, yeah, I'm going to walk that out. That's what we do. Where's the kingdom in that? I say the kingdom in that is that, you know, none of us have the mental capacity to fly solo. I mean, when it comes to kingdom stuff, you know, none of us have the ability. I mean, you know, there's no solo warriors in the kingdom. And so when pastors get together and share ideas, and, you know, there's people that come to me and say, Kurt, man, you guys, you know, love what you did with this. Can I use that? And I'm like, absolutely. Take it, steal it, borrow it, change it. I don't care. Don't refer to me. Don't muddy it by saying Kurt gave me this. Just make it your own. See, that's what we do in the kingdom. We work in tandem with one another. It's a team. There's no solo. It's team. That's where the church and the business is a different entity. See, in the business world, it's all about selling your ideas. In the kingdom, it's all about how can we become more effective. That was a kingdom moment for me right there. And you benefit from it every single week because nothing I do is me solely just developing this on my own. We had some warriors last weekend that served in our kids' environments. You know, warriors every week that show up with yellow shirts on, red shirts on, blue shirts on. Here's a picture that came to me last week. Take a look at this. That was drawn by one of our children in Upstreet. Where's the kingdom in this picture right here? Well, see, kids were asked last week or 2 weeks ago in Upstreet to our elementary kids' environment, you know, kindergarten through fourth graders, draw a picture of how you know that God loves you. And this is the picture. I mean, but notice the detail on this deal right here. I mean, the circles, they're like more symmetrical than some of your shirts have on them, right? I mean, this kid was like on it. But here's what he said. I want to quote him. He said, everyone who wears the shirts with the dots, they're the ones that show God's love for me every week. Every week. When you wear that shirt right there, you bring the kingdom. That's a kingdom moment right there. Kingdom moment. See, the question, where do I see the kingdom? I mean, I see it all over the place. I'm probably more attuned to it this week because I was putting my goggles on all week. I knew I'd be talking about it. I was kind of saying, okay, where am I seeing it? Where am I searching it out? How's this happening? But, you know, this is something I do all the time. I'm constantly looking for this. And I'm asking you, hopefully you're getting some pictures. Where have I seen the kingdom this week? I stopped out by the launch pad this week. Every few weeks I go out and meet with some of the subcontractors. And I'm just a participant in their meeting. Usually they bring the subcontractors in one time a week to kind of do a progress update. The next people who are on deck for the next week's project are there, going to get a schedule of how things work. And I just hang out. I usually don't introduce who I am. I'm just there with them. You know, hanging, connecting, thanking them. And here's a picture of one of those meetings. And we're actually standing at the front doors of the launch pad right there. Pretty cool moment. And this plumber, this guy that's like leading the plumbing subcontractor group was there, and man, he was just laughing and cutting up and telling jokes, and you know, he could be a comedian if he decides to change his job. And at some point, I mean, we're all laughing, and somebody comes up and asks me a question, and he got real quiet. He said, are you the pastor? I'm like, I am, and He said, man, when I'm on that side, I am very serious. I mean, all we do is work. And I said, you know what? I love what I saw out here. You know why? Because I tell you what, you know what CrossPoint's about? I believe every single week you should laugh. If you don't laugh in here, then man, I don't want to go to this church. Right? I mean, there's something about laughter. Where's the kingdom in that? Where is the kingdom? The kingdom is, man, you talk about a guy who loves his job and is finding great joy in what he's doing. Listen, it was 30 freaking degrees out there that day. I'm freezing. I'm like shivering. And he's out there. I'm fun and laughing. And I'm thanking him for what the gifts he brings. I mean, there's all kinds of kingdom all over that right there. I mean, you know, the kingdom could be in the perseverance to push through the cold. Kingdom could be showing up every day to hit the same nail on the head, knowing that in some way you're a part of something bigger. The kingdom could be in the sense of the possibilities of a plot of dirt and gravel that's going to bring hope to the entire community. He said to me at the end of that conversation, he said, you know, I love when I build churches. He said, I love knowing I'm tying into something that's changing the face of this planet for the rest of eternity. And that's a kingdom right there. I tell you what, it didn't even take goggles to see that one. That's the kingdom. Last week, there were two numbers that came to me. The first one was this. 460. What is that number? That number is the number of people that were impacted or present at the services 2 weekends ago here at Crosspoint, our largest weekend to date on a non-holiday, non-special event weekend. How about that? Great, great weekend. Yeah. Now, where's the kingdom in that? Well, you see, Jesus said, he said, hey, go into all the world and help people, bring people into relationship with Jesus. So when I look at that numbers are important, but they're only important when they're connected to names, which are connected to real individual people. And it was a cool, cool moment to see that the 460 people experienced the kingdom from the youngest of children to adults that weekend. And one of the cool parts was another number I came across that week, which was 219. And 219 is the number of volunteers it took to run all of our ministries on Sunday morning last month in October. I'm not talking 219 positions that were filled. I'm talking about 219 lives, people who said, I'm going to give a couple extra hours a week to serve, to give above and beyond myself, me getting served. And that number tells me a lot of stuff. That tells me that people are helping others. They're passionate about growing and helping other people experience the kingdom. They're passionate about helping good things happen for other people. That's one of the reasons we volunteer, because we want to create an environment where God can do something, move in people's lives. That tells me there's 219 people who are growing in immense ways by giving their life away to something bigger than themselves. And it also tells me when we had that large group of people that were here 2 weekends ago, that we were well-staffed in all of our ministry environments. We had great ministry happening that morning because people are willing to give of their lives. That's a kingdom right there. That's the kingdom at work right in that moment. See, God can use us. I mean, sometimes I think, man, I got a seminary degree. I got to be on staff to be used. No, God can use you. When you're willing to be used, you become a warrior in the kingdom. You become a warrior, a force for good in the kingdom. If we don't believe that, then the kingdom of God isn't going forward. Kingdom does not go forward. And I just love that that's what's happening around here. Thursday, jump forward a few days. I had lunch with a good friend, a guy by the name of Paul. Some of you see him. He teaches up here periodically through the year. And we hadn't caught up in a while. Just a great time together, catching up, encouraging one another as guys, as dads, you know, sharing some of the struggles we're going through. Our kids are all the same age. And where is the kingdom in that moment? And I step back, I'm like, whoa, this is a kingdom moment right here. It's the only one I don't have a picture for, Paul. I didn't get a picture of us. Would have been weird in McAllister's, right? So, two guys getting a picture together just seems a little weird. So, we're sitting there, though, and we're talking about, you know, raising our daughters. Paul's talking about raising his daughter and coaching her and becoming a godly young woman. I said, man, we're dealing with the same things. Where is the kingdom in that? Jesus said, I no longer call you servants because a servant doesn't know his master's business. Business, for those of you that don't like business. He says, hey, I call you friends. He says, I call you friends. And so Jesus is both a king and a friend at the same time. Listen, whenever there is a great friendship happening, there is a kingdom moment right there. See, friendship is actually a reflection of the kingdom. It's a reflection. Man, that was a kingdom moment right there. I saw it right through my goggles. I was looking for it, experienced it, encouraged by it. Man, my whole day went a different direction after that lunch. Last one. Scrolling through my phone this week. Saw this picture from a few weeks ago and my family was up at Niagara Falls, and you're thinking now, where is the kingdom in that? Because it's beautiful, because it was fun. I mean, where do we get this idea? I got to be struggling and suffering and living in a van down by the river in order for the kingdom to come. You know, it's in the beauty. It's in the beauty of creation. I actually took that photo with my everyday iPhone camera. I mean, look at that. The beauty of a creative moment. And I just realized, man, this is kingdom. As I'm sitting and recalling that beautiful moment, that's the kingdom of God right there. Jesus says, look, beauty. Look at the lilies of the field. Look how beautiful they are. I mean, Solomon, the guy with all the jacket, biggest, you know, wealthiest guy in the Old Testament, he had all the money in the world. And he wasn't clothed like the beauty of the lilies. Whenever you see beauty, the kingdom is there. Matthew chapter 13, Jesus says, the kingdom of God is like a merchant in search of fine pearls. How are you searching for it this week? How have you been searching for it over the last few days? Have you been searching? What are you searching for? I mean, because when we begin to put on the lens of the kingdom and we ask God to help show us what the kingdom we seek first, he says, look first for the kingdom. God says, I will help you see it as you seek it. As we wrap this up, take out your connection cards. And we filled these out earlier this morning. Eric walked us through this. On the back side are some next steps. And we're really big on giving you some practical ways to walk this out this week. And, there's multiple ways you can do this. Some of you have some great stories. I'd love to hear your stories of how you're experiencing the kingdom. There's a website or an email address you can send those to, kingdomstories@crosspointweb.org. Maybe your next step is being baptized. That's the very next step because you've never done that. And you say, I want to be obedient so I can experience more of God's fullness in my life. Maybe it's inviting a colleague to participate. And then the cheer box drive. But here's the one I want to focus us on right now. I want to challenge every single one of us to this first next step. Will you seek the kingdom this week? Will you say, God, I want to see through kingdom lenses where you are working every day, every moment. I could go on and on stories I could tell you. All right, I tried to pick a few. But will you commit to doing that? And then on page 92 and 93 in your journal, will you just journal these? Will you write down how you're seeing evidence of God? Sometimes we're like, God, where are you? What are you doing? It's right there. God says, when you seek, you will see. So maybe that's your next step this week. Last one, Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. Paul says, for whatever, brothers and sisters, is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there's any excellence, if there's anything worthy of praise, think about these things. He's saying, hey, if there's anything you see that you think would make God smile, there's the kingdom right there. Look for it. If there's anything here that's happening that's honorable or good, that's the kingdom right there. Look for it. God's calling us to put on the kingdom goggles and to see what he's up to and to join and be a part of it. Hey, join me in standing and let's pray as we walk this thing out today. God, I'm thankful that we can come into this place, and I pray that you would just help us to see this week the kingdom. Help us to seek first you, God, your righteousness, and all the other things are going to be added to us. It's a promise. It's an ask with a promise. God, help us to see the good, noble things this week, all the ways that make you smile in our world, and to realize that was just a kingdom moment. And God, I pray that that we would literally, maybe we don't wear around goggles, but we would just seek, God, to look at life different. And God, when we seek it, may you reveal your kingdom to us. May we begin to get a picture and a look and a vision and a dream of what it means to experience and see the kingdom all around us. I pray this in your name and according to your character.